Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cynical Series. And this evening is the Divine Will ebook series, where we attempt to methodically go through Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation in its completeness and its thoroughness, and better understand this gift of living in the divine will. Again, this dissertation, I mean, I'm at a loss for words. This dissertation, I mean, it has the abrogation, which is the scholastic term for approval. So the church has looked at this, the Pontifical Gregorian University of Rome, which many popes have gone through, has looked at this, and they've given it a stamp of approval. So this is really, I mean, it's perfect for the time we're in, especially with the situation with Luis's cause being sort of paused a bit, but we can talk about that in a moment. I'd just like to begin as we always do with prayer, and we can do that. Let's see if I can bring up the tech. Oh, and by the way, we are without Maureen this evening, so I know you're all disappointed about that, and I want to lower the volume because you have me, but that's all I can do. I am what I am. So we're going to begin as we always do with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Yeah. Name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, just a joy to come together again. Have this opportunity. I mean, it's really an opportunity. We're grateful to have awakened today, both physically as well as spiritually, and truly blessed to be alive at this time. And we really are truly blessed to be alive at this time. I think we're recognizing that. Yes, it's not the easiest time to be alive, but it's the greatest time to be alive. Because I think, and again, this is not just my call, but I think it's probably the easiest time in the history of mankind, where it's the time where it's easiest to become a saint, I think, because the whole world seems to be rushing toward evil. It doesn't take much to just, you know, go against the current, but it is difficult to maintain that going against the current, and that's why we need the church, its sacraments, and all the gifts that God has given us up to this point. And I can't even imagine going through what's going on right now in the world and in the church and our families everywhere without this gift of the divine will. And I'm sure I speak for everyone out there. I'm actually preaching to the choir. But what I'd like to do before we get going here, because we're basically continuing on. Let me just bring it up. This is 6.1.5.2. And again, Father Nisi's dissertation, if you're not familiar with it, this is something that he decided to do for his doctorate in mysticism. He reached out to the Archbishop of Carrara, which he didn't have to do, but out of a courtesy, he said, I'd like to do this. I'd like to use Luis's writings for my dissertation. He was given the blessing. So Father translated all of Luis's writings. Then he took on the task of summarizing exactly what God's intentions were as far as what the lessons were. And he summarized it, and then he drives us into the volumes where Jesus and our Blessed Mother expand upon that. And again, because they're the ultimate teachers. I mean, we have teachers on earth that are helping us. You know, the Father Celso, the Father Annuzzi. I mean, we're all sort of a sharer or teacher in one respect. The ultimate teachers are going to be our Lord and our Lady. But again, everyone else is pretty much a cheerleader, and there's better than others. I mean, I'm not a very good cheerleader, but yeah, I'm here. But what's really interesting is that that he did this. He wrote this dissertation. It took him almost 14 years. It received the abrogation, which is the scholastic term of approval, in the Gregorian University of Rome. And that's the sort of like the theological scholastic term for approval. So we have something we can use. I mean, we have something because we do not have an English translation. And if that, I'm sure most of us today is joining us right now with English as the first language. There is no official English translation. So we are, subject to using whatever is available to us. But here we've got Father Nuzzi's translation, which is a theologian's translation, which I don't know if there's any other translations done by a theologian. And then we have the summary, and then we have the showing it, the see he had to prove that this is Catholic. He had to go into the patristics, the magisterium, the catechism, the saints, the doctors, the fathers of the church. He had to somewhere show how this is rooted in Catholicism, and that's what he successfully defended. So it's Catholic. And that's why one of the great litmus tests is if you hear someone speaking about the divine will, it just doesn't make sense. If it's not Catholic, it can't be divine will. And I think that's one just easy litmus test we can do. But what I wanted to say, and again, this just came out a couple of days ago, I recognize this, and I just think it's really important. It caught me by surprise a bit. I never remember reading it, but if you recall, there was a it was a actually funny, but it really wasn't funny. There was a rumor about 6 months ago that, and I heard this from really reliable people. I'm sorry to say. They said, did you hear it? The cause is placed on hold. Father Iannuzzi found five or six errors in Luisa's writings, and the Vatican's placed the cause on hold. So everyone's upset about, everyone's mad at Father Iannuzzi. Oh, come on. How'd you find errors? And now you're holding up the cause? Well, it was just a rumor, it wasn't true. Well, what was true is that Father Iannuzzi did discover five or six errors, but they weren't in Luisa's writings. They were errors in the approach that the Vatican, that the church was taking in order to understand these writings. They're not looking at the writings through using divine will spectacles or glasses. They're using the regular, ordinary glasses, and they can't read it. They can't understand it. Jesus said that too. I forget what passage he said. He says the church is going to try to understand this humanly, and that's going to be impossible. So again, just to give us an idea, he I think it was on Radio Maria. He gave us this. He gave an example of one of these five or six errors that he identified that the church is doing, not intentionally, of course, that is impeding their progress from understanding this, from developing a basis and being able to be in a position, hopefully someday, to present this to the faithful. So one of the things that he identified, Father Nuzzi, is he identified that the Vatican is taking just simple excerpts, or in some instances, one-liners, and trying to make sense of it, and trying to authenticate it as being Catholic. Like, for example, if we just use the one line that Jesus states, he says, the divine will is greater than the Eucharist. I mean, if we just use that one line, does that sound Catholic? Of course not. It sounds heretical. In fact, any good Catholic is probably going to not listen to anything else you want to say if you lead off with that conversation. But if you listen to what Jesus says before that and what he says after that, he explains it. And it basically goes into, we understand this, that, that the divine will is in the Eucharist. The Eucharist is the divine will. For the 15 or 20 minutes that the church proclaims that until the host is dissolved, that we are, again, depending on our disposition, of course, that we are intimately involved with the divine will. We are connected to. That in of itself is great, but remember that is also subject to imperfections, our imperfections, not God's. God's always 100% pure, but it's our disposition, our lack of reverence, our lack of being in a state of grace, a whole host of things that can mitigate, that can water down what God is giving us through the Eucharist being the divine will. So we can just look at, okay, it's subject to our disposition. It's our total communion with God. If everything is perfect in our lives, ready to receive, we have this perfect communion for the 15 or 20 minutes. Okay, that is spectacular. That's everything. But now you take the divine will, and that's a perennial communion. It's a perpetual divine will. So again, what is greater, 15 or 20 minutes of divine will or a perennial divine will? That's the reading before and the reading after. And that makes perfect sense. It's not God is greater than God. It's not a competition, but what is greater? 15 or 20 minutes of perfection or an eternity of perfection? Of course, the eternity is. So that's why he found that, again, to be true, that they're not reading enough to get that broad understanding. And Jesus called this out. Think about it. If they're not reading before and after what they're looking at, they're not reading it thoroughly. And that's what Jesus says in volume three, January 8th, 1900. Please meditate on this. This is really great. And share this with others that that are maybe upset about what's going on at the Vatican or mad at Father Nuzzi. So this is volume three, January 1900. And the title is The Errors Contained in These Writings. Right, wait a minute, wait. We've been told by everybody that there are no errors in these writings. And now Jesus is telling us the errors contained in these writings. Oh, here's the line too, the headline. The errors contained in these writings, which will do good. Okay, so again, God's mysterious permissible will never allow something that appears to be bad unless he can bring a greater good. So this is exactly what Jesus says. Remember, Father Nuzzi identified that they weren't reading this thoroughly. They weren't taking a poignant point, and they were not thoroughly investigating it. They weren't reading before it. They weren't reading after it. So this is what Jesus says in volume three, January 1900. I'm going to skip down to about halfway down the passage, and he says, alerts us this. Quote, I assure you that they will find not a shadow of vice or anything which is not virtue. Because while you write, Louisa, I myself guide your hand. At the most, they may find a few errors at first sight. But if they look at them thoroughly, they will find the truth. End quote. How great is that? We have the absolute answer. We have the antidote. We have the comfort to know that, of course, Jesus knew this before it was going to happen. He's giving us this to put us back in peace, at peace. Again, there's no vice. There's no anything which is not virtue. Nothing that is not untrue. He says also in other passages, there's nothing that will contradict sacred scripture. In fact, it enhances it. Enhances it? How does it enhance it? Well, it doesn't perfect it. It doesn't complete it. But it makes it better understood. And that's the Article 66 of our Catholic Catechism. I'll try to paraphrase it. It states, quote, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the future generations to better understand what has already been given. End quote. So, and again, Father Nuzzi gives us a great example of that when he gives us the analogy of the flower. Think about the Catholic Church being this flower. And we've been looking at this, memorizing, staring. We know exactly what this flower looks like for 2,000 years. We can describe it with our eyes closed. We can identify it. We can describe it. We can do everything. We can draw it. But now all of a sudden, the divine will comes. Let's see if I have it here. I probably don't. I have it here all day long. It's probably falling off my desk. Well, the divine will comes, and basically, it's a magnifying glass, and I had it here. Anyway, so the divine will comes, and it's a magnifying glass. Now, we use that magnifying glass to look at that same flower, that same church, you know, the flowers of the church. We look at that same flower that we've been looking at for 2,000 years. Now, all of a sudden, through the magnifying glass, wow, look at the photosynthesis in the leaves. Look at the fuzz on the petals. Wow, this is extraordinary. This is new to us. But it's always been there. It's just new to us. It's just because it's new, because we are identifying it now. Just like the new and divine way of holiness. Holiness always existed. There's a greater degree of it. So impressive the way God puts everything in order. So again, volume three, January 1900. Please keep that in mind when somebody's a bit unsure or dismayed about what's going on. And again, this is not news. Or new news. This was communicated to us by the Archbishop back on March 4th of 2000, no, 2000, 2020, sorry, where he stated that this is the cause has been put on pause. Pause meaning they're just not going forward, thank goodness. They're going actually back now to reanalyze, to refocus, to revisit, to relearn what they've already read because they didn't fully understand it. And now, hopefully, reading before and after the poignant sentence and invoking the divine will, hopefully, because Jesus says, you know, to get the understanding necessary, you need to be in the divine will. But again, it can always be given to them by God. God's permissible will can do anything he wants. So they're going to go back and re-examine what they've already examined so that they may better understand it. And hopefully, it'll work this time. Or it may not work this time. It may have to be a third time, or maybe a fourth time, or maybe a 17th time. We don't know. But whatever it is, we know it's eventually going to go forward in some capacity. We know this can't stay like this forever, or can it? What are we losing right now? We have what we have. Yeah, we don't have the English version, but we do have Father Nuzzi's dissertation, which we can use even in a public forum because it does have abrogation by the Holy See. So we have something we can use. They can't kick us out with this. Well, actually, they can kick you out, but they kicked out of, can you imagine they kicked out of Divine Will group at my local parish here because the pastor told the facilitator that you can't do this because, you know, I think they were using Father Nuzzi's dissertation. And he said, Father Nuzzi is not a priest. Sorry, you can't use this. Someone told him that Father Nuzzi wasn't a priest. And we found out about this, and somebody came to me and said, you know, can you imagine they said he's not a priest? I said, well, I have a document I can give you from Father Nuzzi's Roman superior. I received a letter from him every year that Father's a priest in good standing. He has authority and permission to talk about the divine will. I'll give it to you. So I gave it to this gentleman. He tried to give it to the pastor. Pastor didn't want to receive it, didn't want to hear it. So again, remember what Jesus says in volume 36, the divine will has two opposite effects. For those who are wanting and longing for the truth, it's life and light. For those looking to split hairs and find faults, it's blindness. They just can't see it. And that's why we're so really, really grateful. How can 100 people look at the same thing and two of us out of that 100 recognize this to be extraordinary? It's probably not even 2 out of 100. It's probably less than that. So we really, really are blessed to be given this opportunity. And again, it's nothing we earned. We can't say, oh, we did a good job. It's all those hours I spent there, all those hours. No, it's nothing we did. It's nothing we didn't do. It's a gift. It's a mystical gift. And mystical gifts are not given equally like our baptismal gifts. They're given by God to whomever God wishes, when he wishes, to what extent he wishes. And he's given it to us. Us nobodies. But it's really good to be a nobody. Because nobody expects much of a nobody. But God's going to surprise everyone with what he's going to bring to the world and what he has brought to the world. It's already here. This is not something we have to wait for. This is already here. And we don't have to worry about who's where, what level. All that's going to be taken care of by God. We know the divine will is here. It can be lived fully. It can be lived partially. Anything's possible to God. Again, we're talking about God. And for someone to say, well, this can't be, that can't be, I don't know. I can't see that. Anything is possible. If it's good, it's of God. So it's really interesting how this should all play out. But anyway, back to 6.1.5.1, the sons of God, subsistence in two substances. This was the human nature and the divine nature, which has some controversy in the past. So we are on footnote number 105. We've been there, I know, for a couple weeks now. But 105 states, see, Louisa elaborates on the manner of this exchange and subsistence of in human nature, which she affirms that in prelapse here in Adam and in the soul that lives in the divine will, the human will shares in the substance of the divine will. And that's footnote number 105. And I hope to stop it's early, see if anyone has anything they'd like to share. Now, before we go forward, though, does anyone have anything to share about what I said about the pause being on hold, or the cause being paused, I guess is the best way to say that, or anything about Father Nuzzi's dissertation, or anything about this passage in volume 3, January, was it January 8th? Yeah, January 8th, 1900. Any comments? Any that catch anyone by surprise? Probably no surprise, right? That we find it here. I mean, spelled out exactly the way it's been identified. So exactly what happened. God is pre-warned us. I mean, look at Our Lady. Our Lady's pre-warned us in every one of her apparitions. She told us to be ready, to expect this. This is what's going to happen. Fatima comes to mind every day. She said there'll come a time there'll be a diabolical disorientation. Good will be bad, bad will be good. Even good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. We're not even close to that. We're in the midst of that right now. But we don't get angry. We just say, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. I mean, some really do know what they're doing, and I think they enjoy doing it. But I think a lot of folks, a lot of good folks, are just confused and just like Our Lady said, doing bad things, thinking they're doing good. So pray for one another for sure. But again, God's got this under control. And again, and also with Father Annunzio going to the Vatican or writing to the Vatican to clear up these situations so that the ambiguities can be resolved. I don't pray that Father Annunzio be successful because I don't think that's the right prayer. I think the right prayer is God, we bless Father Annunzio for going there and for making this attempt. And if it be your will that this get rectified now, that's what we wish. If it not be your will that this be clarified at this moment, then no matter what Father Annunzio does, no matter how qualified he is to do it, he's not going to be successful if it's not God's will. So if we pray for God's will, we will get what God wants and not necessarily what we want. So I'm praying for Father that he has a safe trip if he's going to go there personally or that our Lord guides his hand as he writes to them. But I'm praying for God's will to be done. Because remember, too, the longer this takes, the bigger and the greater the opportunity we have to embrace this gift in faith. And God is so elated when we use faith. I mean, every time someone's cured, it's your faith that's healed you. When I return, will I find faith? Jesus tells us in volume two, faith is God. God is faith. So if he gives us this opportunity, this extra opportunity, as the church is, bickering over this and deciding on that and trying to figure this out, we're plodding along. We're nothing's changed for us. Nothing. And we're embracing this totally in faith. Yes, this cooperation, of course, with the church. We know that the first 19 volumes have been promoted and helps. I mean, it's all, but it's faith. And that's trusting God. That's loving God. That's having confidence in God. It's having faith in God. Faith is faith. So, again, whatever happens, may God's will be done. And we can't be disappointed. We can't be disappointed, I think, if we go with that attitude. But you will be disappointed, though, if we don't get to these readings. I know you're going to get mad at me. Okay. So, here's that when I was talking about the opposite effects right in front of me. Volume 36, May 19th, 1930. So whoever will read these writings with the intention of finding the truth will feel my flames and all transformed in love and will love me more. But whoever will read them to split hairs and find doubts will remain blinded and confused by my light and my love. My children, the goodness of my truth produces two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, it is light giving sight to their intelligence and the life of sanctity contained in my truths. For those who are not disposed, it is blindness that deprives them of the good contained in my truths. End quote. So I guess that's the answer as to how can 100 people look at the same thing we're looking at and one or two say, wow. And the other 98, 99 say, it's nice. Again, the two are not greater. The two are not better, but they've been disposed. And that's a mystical gift. And we have to show gratitude for that, I think. Remember, ingratitude was one of the greatest pains of our Lord's humanity, i.e., the 10 lepers were healed. One comes back. Where are the other nine? Where are the 10? The ingratitude. So we cannot continue this ingratitude. We cannot take everything that we enjoy and we love and we treasure without giving thanks to the originator of it. So gratitude every moment. That's why when we wake up, grateful to have awakened, both physically as well as spiritually. We really mean that. We don't just say that just to say that. So volume 36, opposite effects. Would make sense, right? Okay. Footnote number 105. Now we're going to begin. I think I have it marked, hopefully. Yeah. Okay. This is the new material. Well, I'll read the last line here, sort of to blow us into the new. And Jesus said, and in fact, all creative things are just as they were created. None of them have lost anything of its origin. Only man lost the life, the foundation, and therefore he lost his nobility, the strength, and the likeness to his creator. So that's startling too, if you think about it. Everything is as it was. Think about that. Everything is in the Garden of Eden, everything is as it was. The only one that got kicked out is a man. So we're on this playground, we got kicked out for not following the rules. And now God has swung open the playground gate and says, you're welcome back. But he's not going to force us. He's not going to go in there and grab us. No, he can't. He's not going to validate our free will. That's a true love. But he's saying, come back. The gate's open. Come back in. I think you've learned your lesson. I'm going to give you reminders now that will make it so difficult for you to lose what you lost before. In fact, he told Louise it'll be impossible for her to lose this because of what he's given her. And I think he wants to give us the same. But we have to first give our fiat. We have to take that first step out of the block, so to speak, to run this race. And then God will run the rest of the race for us. But we need to initiate it. It's all about giving, if you think about it, right? God gives us this opportunity to embrace this gift. We give our fiat. He gives us the grace and graces. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. He gives us the gifts. We receive the gifts. We give back the gifts on the level of God due to God, which we can't do by ourselves. And then we're given the grace and graces to remain there and to be with him forever, beginning now on earth as it is in heaven. It's all about giving. The receive is a natural effect of the gift. I mean, when you give, it's received. Well, God really did make this very, very simple. Okay, so here's the new material. But in spite of this, my will did not leave man completely. Unable to still be his source of life and the foundation that would sustain him because he himself had withdrawn from it, it offered itself as medicine so that he might not perish completely. End quote. We talked about this also, I think, many, many times about, we hear the loose phrase, Adam lost everything. And it's close to being true. He did lose almost everything. But he didn't lose the part of the divine will that beats his heart, breathes his lungs, and flows his blood. Because Jesus says, if that had been taken away, then Adam would have ceased to exist. And if he ceased to exist, there'd be no descendants. There would have been no opportunity for redemption. There would have been no opportunity for the sanctification that we're undergoing right now. So God left basically an umbilical cord to keep us alive, sort of intravenously, until he can stabilize us. And the only thing that can stabilize us is the gift of living the divine will, because it brings back all that was lost, all that made us ill. All that allowed us to die is all being brought back. And the beautiful thing is, this is not coming at some point in time. It's now. It's right now. Bernadette Subaru, her feast day used to be the 18th of February because that was the day the Blessed Mother told her that I cannot make you happy in this world, only in the next. And that was before the divine will was available. And now God can make us happy in this life as in the next. Because heaven, he's bringing heaven down to earth. It's possible. Just so beautiful. I mean, everything is so connected. It's just incredible. Okay. So again, if he had taken everything away from Adam and Eve, we wouldn't be here, and Adam would have perished. He would have ceased to exist. I think he says that a couple of times in the volumes. So my will is medicine, is sanity, is preservation, is food, is life, is fullness of the highest sanctity. It's everything. So his will, as he brought us all the gifts, remember too, again, we may be kept alive with this hypothetical umbilical cord, but think about what Jesus said in volume 14, September 11th, 1922, through this whole 2,000 years of our church. He says, quote, "Therefore, there is nothing that I did which did not have as primary purpose that man take possession of my divine will and I of his. This was my primary purpose in creation, the same in redemption. The sacraments that I instituted, the many graces given to my saints, have been the seeds, the means, the way in which to let man reach this possession of my divine will." End quote. So everything that's been given to us has been given to us for a primary reason. And that primary reason, or that primary purpose, is to bring us back to the order of the place and the purpose which were created by God, the prelapse Aaron, heir of Adam, to go back, to move forward, to go back. Sounds like a paradox. That's why nothing can stand still. The church cannot remain idle. It has to keep changing because it has not fulfilled its mission. His mission is to bring us back. And then even our catechism states, and there'll be a time when the church and the sacraments will be no more. Adam didn't have the church as we know it. Adam didn't have the sacraments as we know it. He didn't need it. It's the medicine, it's the food. We need it desperately right now. I know there are some people going around the country or the world, I should say, stating that, if you're journeying the divine will, you don't have to go to confession or you don't have to go to communion. Again, if it's not Catholic, it cannot be divine will. So we just have to use our common sense. Then we pray. We don't get mad at anyone. We pray. And but we do have to we do have to nicely in charity and love confront situations like this, because this could be scandalous. This could be not only scandalous for the individual, but for those who are listening and who may believe this erroneous teaching. So sometimes we have to get involved in a very difficult way, telling someone that what they're doing is not exactly the way they should be doing it. St. James says that if we can help guide our brother and sister in their error, helping them to come to terms and save their soul, we'll save ourselves and a multitude of others. So again, we're all in this together. St. James was right. It's truly the communion of saints. So again, primary purpose was to bring us back, and that's why everything's changing. And God's given us a certain amount of time to do it. He says, "Okay, you haven't come looking for me, then I had to come looking for you," and he found us, and we're thankful for that. So thanks be to God for everything. Okay. So, in whatever way the creature wants it, so does it offer itself. If she wants it as medicine, it offers itself in order to take away from her the fever of passions, the weaknesses of impatience, the vertigo of pride, the sickliness of attachments, and so with all the rest of evils. If she wants it as sanity, it offers itself to preserve her healthy, to free her from all spiritual illness. If she wants it as food, it gives itself as food to make her strengths develop and grow more in sanctity. So see, it has everything, But again, depending on our intentions, that's how it may be used at that moment. In whatever way the creature wants it, so does it offer itself. It wants it as medicine, it offers itself in order to take away the fever of passions, the weakness of impatience, the vertigo of pride, sickliness of attachments. If she wants it as sanity, it offers itself as to preserve her healthy, to free her from any spiritual illness. If she wants it as food, it gives itself to food as food to make her strengths develop and grow more in sanctity. I think we should want it in every aspect of our life. We'll take it all. Check them all off. All the above. God knows if we, I think if we do that, God knows when to use what and where. We don't have to worry about that. If she wants it as life and as fullness of sanctity, oh, then my will makes feast. I think that's what we just said, right? Just, we want it all. And that elates our Lord. And then my will makes feast because it sees man returning into the womb of his origin from which he came. And it offers itself to give him the likeness of his creator, the only purpose of his creation. My will never leaves man. If it left him, he would resolve into nothing. Think of that. Think of that. If there were no God, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We wouldn't be here right now. We wouldn't have our family. We wouldn't have anything. And we wouldn't know it, maybe. But now we know that we know, and we know that we know that we know. That's even better. And if man does not give himself to letting my will make him a saint, my will uses the ways at least to save him. So even those that don't have that aspiration to grow in holiness, if they live a good life, we're talking about good life. We're not talking about rejecting the church. We're talking about those who don't know the church, don't have that opportunity. But they live a good life with integrity, with truth, being trustworthy, having love, courage, all those good things. Remember, anyone in the state of grace can receive this gift. If we said, if we were to say only those who have the volumes, or only those who have heard of Luisa Picaretta, or only those who are studying in Cenacles can receive this gift, we'd be guilty of the heresy of Gnosticism. Can't say that. God can give this gift to anyone he wishes, when he wishes. To what extent he wishes. Remember, this is a mystical gift. Granted, if he's made these volumes available, if he's made Luisa's name known, if he's made this divine will in of itself, even the slightest bit understood by us, he's expecting us to journey. He's expecting us to read. He's expecting us to listen to whatever extent we can. I may have different opportunity to listen, to read, to study, and to masticate. And then maybe someone else. And then maybe others have something greater capacity than I do. And mastication, that's another thing too. When we go back to, let's go back to the beginning of the program, we talked about thoroughly. Jesus says, at the most, they will find a few errors at the first sight, but if they look at them thoroughly, they will find the truth. That goes for us too. I found myself do this. I read something and I've got like that aha moment. I can't wait to tell somebody. But then after I start thinking about it and praying on it, meditating on it, and hopefully contemplating it through the gift of contemplation, if I'm able to get that gift, it seems to morph a bit. I'm not saying the truth changes, but my understanding of it changed. And that is due to the mastication. See, when we masticate, we have got a chance to allow us to better understand. Because remember, when we're reading, we're using, yes, we're using our human intellect, our human will, our human memory. And of course, if God is there with us, he'll make us understand what we need to understand at the time we need to understand it. But sometimes if we read it and we run away, we don't give God that opportunity to speak with us. Again, not speak maybe where we can hear him, but just subliminally, internally. We may not get the full breath, just like the church is not getting it because of the strategy in which they're using to obtain the truth, the format of what they're doing. And this brings me to a point. Let me just, if I can, there's a great booklet out there called How to Study These Gifts of the Divine Will. Let me see if I have it up here. What I was looking at before. Here, it's on our website, queenofthedivinewill.org. It's How to Study the Writings of the Servant of God, Louise Spigaretta. And just so you don't get nervous, this is not Peter DePalma telling you how to study, because Peter DePalma can't even tell himself how to study. So I would never even suggest how to do it. These are the encouraging words of Jesus, of our Blessed Mother, on how to approach these writings. And I think this is really great because it's not really hard to understand. And again, it goes down to goes back to masticating, chewing on something, giving it an opportunity to seep in so that we may absorb it, and so that God may make those subtle corrections in what we're thinking. And just to give you, for example, and there's a bunch of, if you're looking here, a bunch of quotes here. I don't know how many there are exactly, but there's got to be at least 60 or 70, maybe more. But just, I'll just take number one here. It's a short one, so I'll take it. Volume 7, February 28, 1906. Quote, when the soul masticates, when it chews, when it ponders, when it meditates these truths and makes them her nourishment, then grace communicates itself and takes possession. That's what we're talking about, that grace. That grace, we can't manufacture that grace. That grace is given. And God is so happy that we're reading, that we're making time to listen, that he's going to communicate this grace. So when the soul masticates, chews on these truths, and makes them her nourishment, then grace communicates itself and takes possession. That is the reason why not all souls receive these effects, because these truths speed through their mind like a flash of lightning. End quote. So that's why the divine will, again, in my opinion, it's really quality over quantity. It's not how much we read, but how well we read, what little we read, if that makes any sense. That's why I think the calendar is a great idea, but I just can't do the calendar. Because if there's 10 or 11 readings in one day, I just can't do that and masticate on it. I just don't have the time. I really don't. To really fully masticate on 11 passages and doing other stuff and be a father and a grandfather and a husband and all the other things I have to do. But what did Saint Hannibal say? What was Saint Hannibal's advice? This is a saint. Louise's spiritual director for 17 years, also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved that version. Founder of two orders, religious orders, the Daughters of Divine Zeal and the Rogatians. He knows mysticism. He knows spirituality. What did he say? What was his advice? His advice was, he told Louise and tells us, he only reads 1 to 2 passages a day so that he can fully understand to the best of his ability what Jesus or his Blessed Mother is trying to convey to us. That's great advice from a saint, Louise's confessor, the saint that gave the Nihil Avstat to the first 19 volumes, the saint that gave the Nihil Avstat to the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, the same saint that gave the Nihil Avstat to the Hours of the Passion. Louise's spiritual director for 17 years, the spiritual director of Melanie Calvert, the seer of Our Lady of La Salette. In the Vatican, when they had the ceremony, when they put that 30-foot statue, or I don't know, 50-foot statue of Saint Hannibal in the alcove, I guess you want to call it, those indentations in the walls. His statue was placed in the last available one. There are no more spaces. They can't put any more saint statues. See the last? Is that the one that fulfills it all? Is that the one that allows God to tie it all together? I don't know. But can you imagine if this is the culmination of 2,000 years of everything he's given, our Lord's given to mankind? If this is the culmination of breaking evil, if this is the fulfillment of the Our Father prayer, like Jesus tells us, and we have no reason to doubt him, when we recognize all this to be true, and then we realize we're in the middle of this, God has put us right in the middle. We all have an office. It doesn't matter what we do. Being on the microphone is probably the least, being home studying and reading and listening and investigating, that's more important. But we all have an office. We all have something to do. We're all a piece of the puzzle. There's no greater piece of the puzzle. And for the promoters of the divine will, we're all cheerleaders. We're all trying to get everyone excited, including ourselves, so that we have the courage to dive into this, to stay with it, and to allow Jesus and his mother to explain this to us. So here, I'm lost for words sometimes when I just think about the generosity and the love that God has for each and every one of us, what he's done and what he hasn't done to this point, which is incredible. Went back on my word. I didn't open up the lines, but a few minutes left. Anyone would like to share anything? Any comments about this? Anything startling? Anything about Father Nuzzi's approach to the Vatican? Anything about the Jesus saying that there are errors contained in these writings, but they'll provide a good? That reminds me of Jesus when he also says about opposition. I think it's entitled Opposition to Serves So the Truth May Shine Brighter. So he says, our Lord says basically that let opposition happen, because by folks challenging the divine will is just going to make this gift shine greater in its time. And I think the analogy would be, for example, we're in a room and it's adequately lit. And every time somebody takes a poke at the divine will or makes up a story, it's not real. Or I know there's something circulating. This priest said that it's a cult and everything else. And I feel bad for these people. It's as if someone's inching the dimmer closer to shutting the light off. So the room becomes darker and darker and darker. And Jesus said, that's okay. Because when the light of the world comes, when it's time, God's going to put the lights on full brightness. And if the room has been dark for so long, everyone will take notice. Everyone will be squinting their eyes. Everyone will be focusing and refocusing their eyes on what God is presenting. So they will all see that need to see, that he wants to see. So let oppositions happen. Let these errors at first sight happen. We just keep plodding, trotting forward, one step at a time, never losing stride. It's like the turtle. Turtle wins the race because the turtle is constant. The turtle is methodical. The turtle doesn't vacillate. He doesn't get tired from sprinting because he doesn't sprint. He doesn't get overconfident. Because he can't be overcome. He's always losing the race. So, well, turtles, we'll get there. We'll get there. And before we know it, we don't know where the finish line is. God's going to move the finish line to us. We're not going to get to the finish line. And there'll be multiple finish lines. Of course, there'll be multiple races. But this is the biggest one we've been in our lives. It's for all the marbles, for lack of a better phrase. And again, we're in it. I'd like to end this evening with Once again, that quote, which I think is beautiful, from Volume 3, January 8, 1900. I assure you, Louisa, that they will find not a shadow of vice or anything which is not virtue, because while you write, I myself guide your hand. At the most, they may find a few errors at first sight, but if they look at them thoroughly, they will find the truth. End quote. All here, we are so blessed. Thanks be to God. We have Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that are coming to us live from Maryville, Tennessee on Sunday. And that begins at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Actually, Adoration and the Holy Rosary and the Divine Will begins at 1 p.m. But Mother and the Sisters will join us at 2 p.m. Same connection, same meeting ID, same password. I was going to say same bat time, same bat channel, but that would definitely date me. But you know I'm old anyway. So love everyone. God bless everyone. And treasure this gift. And remember, always thank God. I don't do it enough. So please remind me also. Thanks be to God. Bye, everyone.